Preparing for .NET 6 with Scott Hunter.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host. We're helping you and your team move fast and deliver quality and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And there's lots of online user group speaking being done continually by myself and others. And so if you run a .NET or Azure-related user group, I'd love to give a presentation for you. Our sponsor, ClearMeasure, makes this podcast happen. We're a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. So if we can help, please get in touch. And if you're a .NET software engineer who wants a path to become an architect, then we're hiring. I'd love to work with you. You can go to clearmeasure.com/careers. And also be sure to check out the new video show, Architect Tips. So today on the show, I have once again Scott Hunter, and he's the Director of Program Management for .NET. And the list of things that he's responsible for is longer than I could possibly mention. But Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, and episode 119, we were talking about .NET 5 with you, and now we're already talking about .NET 6. A lot's coming up.
Episode is this going to be?
152 or somewhere around there. Somewhere around there.
Doesn't seem that long between those episodes. Wow.
30 weeks or something like that. Half a year.
Yeah.
But well, you guys are trucking. And the .NET Conf is coming up. What are the highlights that developers should be kind of looking for this fall? If they're just trying to get caught up with .NET and now .NET 6 is being dropped, pretty cool that we're going at this pace now.
Yeah, the pace we go at is we go every November, and every other release is what we call a long-term release. So we're currently in .NET 5, and .NET 5 is a what we call a current release. It has support of 18 months, and then .NET 6, which will ship in November, it'll have 3 years of support. But lots of good stuff coming in the .NET 6 wave. A couple things I can think about is, you know, we've been shipping these new .NETs for a bit. Since 2016 was the first time we shipped the .NET Core, and they've matured pretty much over the last couple of years. And I think, you know, with .NET 5 and especially .NET 6, we're at a pretty good level of maturity for the newer tech. And so one of the things that we're really excited about is what we call the .NET Upgrade Assistant. And this is if you're a existing customer using .NET Framework and you want to migrate your application to the newer .NETs, this is a tool that can help you. It's going to do a couple things for you. It will basically take your solution and it will convert each of your projects, project files, to the newer project file format that we use in the newer .NET. So it'll do project conversion for you. The next thing it looks at is it's going to look at whatever references you have, which are going to be .NET Framework references. It'll fix your references to match the references that the newer .NETs use. It'll look at your packages and do a package update as well. If you're using like some Windows APIs and stuff like that, it'll add a package, our Windows compatibility pack package. And then it can do, it's got a built-in set of code fix-ups it can do for you as well. So if you're converting like a MVC application or a web API application, you know, it knows that things like HTTP current are not there anymore and it can do some updates and fixes in places like that. But it's really meant to be just a helper, you know, for moving your projects to the newer tech. It won't do everything for you automatically, but it will do a lot of the grunt work that we found ourselves as we were moving things to the newer .NETs. We're like, wow, you know, converting 7 project files is a pain. These references is a pain. So it kind of is a tool that we learned as we migrated a bunch of our stuff to the newer .NET And, you know, we kind of put it all into a tool. And so that's a, you know, we think with .NET 6, you know, if you have .NET framework apps you're still maintaining, now's a great chance, great time to go think about converting them to the newer tech. And we're trying to help you. So that's a...
Now, is that going to be built into Visual Studio 2022, or is it going to be a side tool?
Still? It'll be a side tool. Okay. We might put a, at least a, if you try to retarget to, you know, a .NET framework application to .NET 6, maybe we pop you to a web page where you can see the tool. We don't want to put it in Visual Studio because people will assume if it's in Visual Studio, it'll just do it all for you and it'll just work.
Yeah.
You know, I have converted applications. It only took me about 10 or 15 minutes to convert after using the tool, but mileage is going to vary. It primarily is best used for WinForm, WPF, ASP.NET MVC, and ASP.NET Web APIs. Those are the four, or a class library or a console application. But those are the primary applications that will convert the easiest using the tool. From our, you know, from people that have used it, we know that over half the usage of the tool has been people moving WinForms and WPF projects forward into the .NET 5 or .NET 6 world.
Now, do people have to worry about getting it up to .NET 4.8, or does it actually work? Just
it's not going to care. You don't need to be on the last, you know, the latest .NET to use the tool. The tool is going to work fine if you're on, you know, .NET 2 application, .NET 4 application.
Oh, sweet.
So it that doesn't really care.
I'm guessing for the people that have pretty extensive web form applications, for those people, is it no, you're on your own, or Will it convert the rest of the solution of class libraries and entity framework code and all that and just leave the web forms?
That's what it would do today, is it would basically convert the stuff it could convert and not touch the stuff it couldn't convert. So it would still be a step along the way. You know, if you have a heavily, you know, WCF app or web forms app, those are probably the two that would be the hardest to move at this point in time. We are still investigating if there's more we can do in the web form world, but you know what I would recommend for a web form customer, you know, ASP.NET Blazor is the best path forward for a web form customer because it's got a control model, but it uses modern SPA technologies, and there's a bunch of cool stuff coming in Blazor and .NET 6 that you can do some really crazy stuff with.
Yeah. So for people who are experimenting with .NET 5 and then not quite going to .NET 6. What are the huge deltas for the .NET project types going from 5 to 6?
So I'm not going to be able to help you the way I want to help you because I'm going to send you a link. One of our goals with .NET basically 6 is we sat down as a team as we were planning .NET 6 and we said we think for the average .NET 5 customer it should take about 10 to 15 minutes to upgrade your application.
Okay.
So there's not going to be a ton of breaking changes between .NET 5 and .NET 6. So, you know, don't feel you have to wait for .NET 6. .NET 5 is a great path to get to .NET 6 because it should be very, very trivial to update your app. I will send you a link, Jeremy, that you can share with everybody if you want.
Oh, yeah.
That, absolutely. I called you Jeremy, not Jeffrey. we have an awesome webpage that has a list of all the breaking changes that you can go to, and it's very clear. So we're trying to be very, very good about documenting all the changes between the products that would require you to change a few things here or there.
Yeah.
Way better than we've done in the past. That this will be an area you'll see us focus more and more on as we move forward. We want customers to always be on the latest version. So whatever we can do to make it easier to get you there, we're going to do.
Well, I'm looking forward to not just framework stuff, but the tooling enhancements. Like we're doing a lot of work with Blazor. Blazor server side has been a dream for some time, but you know the WebAssembly debugging and the tooling around that, you know, that's new. Are there things that are not going to make it on the WebAssembly side for .NET 6, or what? How's that looking?
Well, I would say the biggest thing that we want to do from the tooling side, and honestly, it's my favorite feature in the .NET 6, or tied with my favorite feature in the .NET 6 space, is something we've been calling hot reload. You know, one of the benefits of .NET from way back all the way to now is .NET's always been a very high-performant technology for building web applications, desktop applications, whatever you're building. But, you know, .NET is a compiled technology, just like C++ or Java is. And what we typically find is what we call the inner loop. And that is, I make a change in my code and I see how fast it reflects in my application. Compiled languages don't have a great inner loop for the most part, because you're going to make a change, you're going to compile, you're going to relaunch the application. That can take, in the case of a Blazor app, a Blazor server app, that might take 8 seconds if you want to make a change and see it reflected in your application. We built some tech in .NET 5 where you can run what we call .NET watch. And if you .NET watch a Blazor application, you can actually make live changes to it, and it'll restart the application automatically. But that's going to have a 7 to 8 second refresh. And so hot reload, the idea behind hot reload is to basically inject the change that you make into the live running application. I'm going to call this tech a journey, meaning we'll ship the first version of it, in November with the .NET 6 launch, but we really want feedback from our customers. Tell us when you made a change and it still required the entire app to restart.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to work on refining and making this better. But the intent of hot reload is you've got your running Blazor application. You make a change to it. You don't even have to save the file if you don't want to. You can press a button in the tool, and we will inject the change into the running application. Your app will maintain state. And so it means that, a majority of the changes you make in your application should take sub 1 second, not that 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about, over a given day, if you've been working on a Blazor app, how many times it took 8 seconds or more? If that's 100 times a day, wow, 100 times 8 versus 100 times 1,
right,
or less.
And it's not just C# changes. It's, okay, something's working. Oh, let me tweak this CSS so that the formatting of something, okay, not that one, this one. And that right there is just a constant loop activity.
It's all of it. It's, you change a Razor file, you want to change a XAML file, you want to change anything. The goal is to make the hot reload tech work across as much of the stack as we can. And so it's the most exciting piece to me, because if I compare .NET to something like Flutter, or I compare .NET to something like a React app written in Node.js, those technologies have much better inner loops because they're not compiled technologies. They're interpreted technologies. And so they can take those changes a lot faster. And so this is going to be a huge productivity gain, I think, to all .NET developers. And if we didn't add any new APIs or anything at all, I think just this change alone would be something that most people would go, wow. When I demo this, I get mainly in virtual conferences, I get lots of applauses and stuff like that. Yeah. It's the most thing I get the feedback on is showing the hot reload tech.
Yeah.
And I said, this is .NET 6 will be the start of it. We will continue to work on it across every VS minor update, in Visual Studio over the next year or two. We'll do more runtime changes as well. But the hope is you can change more and more stuff. And, if you ever tried edit and continue, this is edit and continue on steroids, because edit and continue required you to actually, or still requires you to actually be in the debugger.
Yes.
This doesn't require you to be in the debugger. You can be both in the debugger or out of the debugger. And I hope I'm hoping a little bit. We want to get to a point where if you press F5, we don't even launch the debugger. We would look at your code and go, there's no breakpoints, so let's not attach the debugger. Nice. So you start faster. If you had breakpoints, we would then attach the debugger, meaning that if you added a breakpoint to the running application, we would then attach the debugger for you. I want to get to that kind of model where it's an even smoother tooling experience than we have today. So
that's always been a point of education for younger .NET developers, hitting the play button on the toolbar or hitting F5. Like, no, you're not debugging. Hit Control F5.
And so what I'll tell you is 98% of all .NET developers press F5.
Yeah, because that's the default.
It's the default, and most people press the default. And so how much time can we save you by making the default not do as much work? What I can't tell you is I don't know if that 98% doesn't have breakpoints or not. But But it shows you there's a huge opportunity there. And so we think this will be one of the biggest changes in .NET, you know, in the past 15 or 20 years or so, just because it's such a, can we give you the same productivity that you get from a non-compiled language from a compiled language?
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
There's also been some talk about simplifying simple, you know, or the minimal .NET program. What's it going to look like?
Approachable. I hate the term minimal because it sounds like we're minimizing something. But what you're talking about is an effort that we started actually with .NET 5 a little bit. C# 9 started bringing some of these changes to .NET. It started with top level programs, and this is, you know, you've been doing .NET for a long time, so it's like, hey, I just want to write hello world to the screen. Well, in a .NET application, you need to have a class, and inside that class, you need to have a method called main to make that work. And, yeah, you know, many other texts, you just write some code and run the code.
Right.
And so with you know, we started off doing that in .NET 5. And then in .NET 6, we're going to take that to another level. You might have seen this feature already. We have a new feature called global usings. And so how many of your .NET applications have the exact same using system using this?
Text.json, all kinds of just basic stuff.
And so it's the same code copied, you know, in 20 files in your application.
Right.
And so we put some new tech into C# where you can have these global usings. And so we can make a lot of those go away. And so if you're building an ASP.NET application, a lot of the ASP.NET usings that would be in all applications, all files, we now just turn them on by default. We're like, hey, ASP.NET applications need these things. So that removes a chunk of code.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of work we've done in if you're, I'll get to the final piece of this. If you write a Lambda, which is a semi-newer C# thing, it's been around for a while, but Lambdas are in most programming languages. But in .NET, in many cases, Lambdas required a bunch of typecasting. And so we'd start looking at building a web API using some Lambdas, and we're like, oh, yuck. You have to typecast this to that, this to that. And so we've made Lambdas a lot smarter in .NET 6 as well, where they don't require as much typecasting as they did before. And then finally, the final part of this is we then looked at the ASP.NET framework and said, you know, hey, we have a great framework if you want to build, you know, applications with lots of APIs. You know, you have a controller class. You fill a bunch of methods in, you can put attributes on them. And that's great if you are going to build 20 APIs or, you know, a large project. But we know in this new world, a lot of folks are building smaller microservice-y kind of things where they might only have 4 or 5 APIs in an app.
Yeah.
And for that, it seems like, why do I have to have, you know, a program.cs, a startup.cs, a controller folder, a controller file?
Right.
Wow, does it really take all, you know, we were asking ourselves, does it really take all those lines of code?
Or for offline jobs, all I need is a worker service. It's like, that's all I need. Do I really have to go to an Azure function, or can I use the cheap app service with a worker service?
Yeah. So we looked at reducing all that as well. And so we have an API in .NET 6 basically breaks down to about 3 lines of code.
That's awesome.
And as I said, that's not for everybody, but we think it's a good way if you're learning .NET to feel like, because I remember, you know, I'll date you and I, Jeffrey, when we back in the day,
active server pages.
No. I was going to date us more with you know, all the work we did in MVC back in the day.
Oh yeah, '08, '09.
And I remember some of our web form developers would come to us and go, "Where do I write my first line of code?"
Yeah,
because you'd have to go figure out that it's not in the program.cs. No, it's not over here. Oh, I have to go in the controller folder and. How would you even know those things?
Yeah.
And so we think when it comes to learning .NET for the first time, being able to write an API, and by the way, Node.js lets you write an API in about 3 or 4 lines of code as well. So this is, some of this also is making .NET more approachable for somebody that's not building a huge enterprise class API. We've always been great for supporting high performance, huge APIs, but that's not everybody that needs that. And so we want to have .NET be able to go on both sides of this. But our hope is to take a lot of those features in C# I mentioned and apply them to not just ASP.NET applications, but all the other application types as well. So if you're building a worker service, can we reduce the amount of stuff required there as well? And so can we, use a top level program so you don't need to have a main class? And so you're going to see us take these features and replicate them through all of the workloads that we have in .NET. And our hope is it makes .NET easier for beginners, more approachable even for experts as well.
How much of that is going to make the .NET 6 release, do you think?
Pretty much everything I talked about should make the .NET 6
release. Oh, nice.
You can't do all of it yet. Some of the compiler, some of the language features are just now, they're going to start lighting up in the next preview build of Visual Studio. And that's why, it's been tough for me because I've seen the internal builds and then I can't use them on my machine. I only run public previews. I don't run internal previews.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do any of this yet. It's the next preview that should be the one that brings most of this into the main tool chain.
Got it. Got it.
And so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to teach a Boy Scout merit badge class on computer programming. And I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to lay out and teach, effectively middle school and high school boys programming and use C#? And so this is really interesting because
it's going to be great. You write your entire app in a single file.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what they need. They don't, at that point, unless your code is more than a couple hundred lines of code, you don't need to start organizing it, breaking apart like we do for our crazy huge enterprise scale apps.
Well, the application has gotten so big, all the ceremony, but my first paid programming job was in the early days of Active Server Pages, and there was an ASP file, and if I wanted to just write a few lines of code that did something and then that was it, that was all was in that file.
I still used some of that tech not too long ago for the same reason. I just wanted something simple, and I didn't need a bunch of files and ceremonies, so I just wrote it in one of those classic ASP apps.
And it still works today. Yep.
It still works today. It is still part of Windows Server and likely will be part of Windows Server forever, I would assume. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of our clients just came back, and it was the original company that I worked for, and I looked back on the code base of an application that I wrote for them when I was 19 years old, and they're still using it. It's amazing. So, all right. Well, before we run out of time, Maui is like the big, huge excitement. It's like, man, I can now C#, like pulling all this together where Xamarin was kind of like its unique thing and a little bit different tooling and all that. I'm excited just at the premise of taking the standard .NET stack and like, okay, now let's put this on the iPhone. Now let's put this on Android as well as Mac and Windows and all that.
Yeah. For folks that don't know it, you've been able to build apps, for mobile devices, iOS and Android for a long time in .NET. There was a company called Xamarin. We acquired them in 2016. But for whatever reason, because it was always an external stack, people still, even today, this year, don't think of it being built in.
Yeah.
And so one of our goals in .NET 6 was to finish with the job of what we call unifying .NET, which is making sure all the workloads, whether it's web, mobile, desktop, IoT, ML, whatever, can all be done with the same project file, the same SDK. All that stuff. And so now the Xamarin tech is actually officially in .NET. It's not a bolt-on. It uses the new project file formats. The applications have the same structure that you would see in a typical like ASP.NET application. But I think one of the cool things that's there as well is, Xamarin for the most part was primarily focused on iOS and Android. And we've opened this up to be for Windows and Mac as well. And so what Xamarin does are Maui now, it lets you build apps using native controls. So if you're on Windows, it's going to use WinUI. That's the latest Windows tech for building a modern Windows application. If you're on a Mac, it's going to use what we call Mac Catalyst, which is a technology for making it easier to port iOS apps to the Mac. And it uses native iOS, native Android on those platforms. And so that gives you the ability to write an app that uses native controls across all the platforms. Something else that's new is in our previews, it's still not 100% down to this, but our goal before we ship is to have a single project. A Xamarin project had a project for each UI, you know, one for iOS, one for Android, and then a shared project that you shared the code across them. We want to move all that into a single project. So you basically have a single project that you can run on all those devices. And then there's, you know, one more flavor of it that's really, really cool is we have a Blazor view control, Blazor web view that you can actually put into a MAUI app. And that means you can actually, what if you want to have a web app? You're mainly a web company, but you want to be able to make your web app act like a native desktop application. Well, now you can just take an existing Blazor project, bolt it into a .NET MAUI application, and now you've got a native desktop application that's running your web app. And your web app, at this point, because it's a native desktop app, can actually call all the APIs on the Windows, all the APIs on Mac, all the APIs on iOS or Android. You know, many of us are running what we call Electron applications today that are doing this today. There's, if you're a Node.js developer, you know, applications like Microsoft Teams or Visual Studio Code, Spotify, Slack, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. They're all web applications, and they're web apps because web's a great way to build UI that looks the same across all the platforms. But they need native access to audio decoding, video encoding, and so I'm happy to give you that as well. So I think .NET MAUI is going to be a huge space as we move forward, where you can choose to use native controls, web controls, or you could actually mix both in the same application. I think .NET 6 is going to be touching the beginning of this journey, and you'll see the tech get a lot better, you know, as we mature it. But it's going to give .NET a great way of building apps that run on all the devices out of one project, whether you're using web UI or native control UI.
Yeah, that is going to open up so many opportunities that they were open before, but they might have almost doubled the cost of the project just because of the additional development, as opposed to the, well, shoot, I was hearing about over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the big, you know, Sun Microsystems Java thing was write once, run anywhere. They never actually accomplished that. But now C# is accomplishing that.
I think we're going to come pretty close to accomplishing that. And you might be, if you're listening to this, you might be going, my web app doesn't need access to native stuff. And I'm going to go, you know, you say that, but we were working with a customer and their application, which is a web app, needed access to be able to control and open the cash register drawer.
That's USB or serial port or something.
They could have written some kind of service and had another app on another machine that
as
was
a listener
hooked to the, but they didn't want to do that. They just wanted to have one computer that did that. At the same time, that same application needed to have access to they had a message board on the wall in the retail location that would tell you what your order number was. And, you know, it's great when the web app has access to that as well.
Yeah.
And so once you start thinking about it, it opens up lots of possibilities. I mean, obviously, I said things like Teams. That needs to do video and audio encoding, which, you know, you're better off using whatever native APIs of the OS you're on. And then we're going to fold some of the Xamarin Essentials tech into that as well, which is Essentials was basically a library of a bunch of common things that we made it work on all the different platforms. So if you want to get the GPS location, you don't make the Windows call to get the GPS location. You make the Xamarin Essentials call to get that. And we abstract it to the right thing based on the platform you're running on. So that's going to be a cool library you can use in conjunction with like a Blazor MAUI app that'll give you easy access to some of the native capabilities that having to write, you know, a bunch of if defs.
Yeah. All right. So for all this stuff, for people paying attention to .NET 6, I mean, they should be downloading Visual Studio 2022, .NET Conf coming up. What are the things leading up to that they should really be paying attention to?
I think getting on the preview builds of Visual Studio 2022, and there's a bunch of benefits whether you're using .NET 6 or not for those builds. You know, for folks that don't know, Visual Studio 2022 is the first 64-bit version of Visual Studio. And so this means in some cases you're going to see performance improvements across the board because of some of the 64-bit tech. If you have crazy large solutions, you're going to be able to load them more readily into the product. It's been a big requested feature. So you're going to get performance and scalability features whether you're using .NET 6 or not. So I would say go try those bits out now. They're pretty stable. And then, of course, as you said, our big launch will be on November 9th. That'll be the actual RTM of .NET 6. And that will also kick off with .NET Conf, which is our virtual event. You know, it's about half Microsofties and half the community that'll be demoing and showing off and showing you how to get the most out of things like the minimal web APIs and .NET MAUI, hot reload, some of the 64-bit tech in Visual Studio. We'll show off the upgrade assistant. So there'll be lots of great, you know, stuff to go check out, you know, in that time frame. And
Well, it just feels like for someone who's been in .NET for over two decades now, it seems like this is one of the biggest releases in a while. So I think the excitement's there.
To me, it is the biggest release in a while because, I mean, as I said, we've been on this journey of reimagining .NET and then trying to put all of the pieces back together into a single cohesive SDK. And so, like, you know, I just can't imagine. Could you imagine, Jeffrey, in 2008, ever thinking there'd be a day that you could actually just download an SDK with no Visual Studio on the machine,
build
a new application, run from command line? You know, we have great support for command line. We have great support for tools. It's such a different era than it was back then. And,
right.
Desktop, web, mobile, all.
Right. That's right. System on a chip, everything.
It's crazy. And some other things, you know, we're also adding support for Apple M1 chips. We're adding support for Windows ARM 64 across the whole platform. So, you know, whole new devices you can target with this. Imagine building a Windows app that could have all day battery life.
Yeah,
it's going
to
be cool.
It's a great time to be shipping .NET and to be a .NET developer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Scott, thanks for coming back on the show and sharing what's coming up and what to be looking out for with .NET 6. It's going to be a mega release. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, hopefully I get to come down to Texas sometime soon and see you.
Yeah, do it. It'd be great. It'd be great. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.